Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your grace, Lord, your mercy that abides upon our lives, that daily is following after us. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning, that once again, Lord, that we would hear from your word. Lord, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, that we might truly receive spiritual strength, faith, encouragement, challenge. Lord, what we need for today, correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. Lord, I just believe you for that, that by the Spirit of the Lord that you speak into our hearts and lives, and that we might be forever changed in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the faith race. Last week, I shared a message with you about getting your faith up. God works in our lives through faith. It is by grace we've been saved through faith. He works in our lives through faith. We are to live by faith. The Bible says whatever's not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, you can't please God. It's impossible. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Doesn't matter what you do, what you don't do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to begin there with verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Everybody here on this earth is here for a reason, for a purpose. God's purpose in your life will require faith. How do I know that? Remember Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I can assure you that His will, the plan of God for your life, is going to require faith, because that's what pleases Him. You can't do it on your own. No, He wants us to believe Him and trust Him, to stand upon His word. And through the rest of the book of Hebrews 11, we read about all of those great heroes of faith, the great men and women of God who fulfilled God's purpose in their life by faith. And that brings us to Hebrews 12 and 1. Here it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know what picture that brings up in your mind, a bunch of saints floating on a cloud. I don't know, but what it means is that all of those men and women of God, the heroes of faith, they are watching. A cloud of witnesses. You know, it's like when those Olympic runners head into the final stretch of a long race and the stands are all cheering. The stands are all cheering for their Olympian, and everyone is excited. And those Olympians hear the cheers as they head down that final stretch. I'm telling you, that's the picture that's given to us here, that those men and women of God are cheering us on for us to run our race of faith. The plan, the purpose, the will of God in your life. I'm telling you, you have a purpose on this earth. You're important to God. It doesn't matter, even if you have a twin, there's two of you for a reason. And even if you have a twin, I want to tell you something, you don't have the same fingerprint, and you don't have the same call and the same purpose. And you see, every single one of us, no matter who you are, you're important to God. He values you, and He has a plan and a purpose for your life that can only be fulfilled by faith. And as you run that race of faith, those heroes of faith, are cheering us on. Next time you feel like nobody is for you, remember there's a great cloud of witnesses. They're watching. They're witnessing. Well, that might be an encouragement as well, to stand strong, to stand firm, to do what you're supposed to do, to not do what you're not supposed to do. There's a great cloud of witnesses. You know, sometimes people think, oh, nobody sees what I, nobody knows. God knows. But there's also a great cloud of witnesses. How about that? Well, when you feel like nobody's for you, God's for you. Who can be against you? Yes. Who can be against me? Well, lots of people, Lord. But you know what? It doesn't matter when God is for you. When you're pursuing the plan of God and doing what God wants you to do, it doesn't matter what kind of opposition comes against you, what kind of adversity, because if God's for you, you're going to win. But it takes faith. First, we have to know that we are living our life for God, that we are running the race, the Bible said here, that is set before us. In the NIV, it says that's marked out for us. You see, there is a race for each and every life. You can't run somebody else's race. See, a lot of people get messed up because they want to run somebody else's race. They want to be like somebody else. They want to do what somebody else did. Or they wish that their life was easy. They think somebody else has it easy, so they want their life to be like them. First of all, I want to tell you, you hadn't walked in their shoes. You don't know what they've been through. You just think you want their job. You know, Peter got that syndrome when Jesus was telling him how he was going to suffer persecution for Christ. And Peter turns around and he looks at John and he says, well, what about him? And you know what? There's a whole lot of Christians that are like that when it comes to running their race for God. They end up missing the race because they're looking at somebody else's race. They're saying, well, what about them? What about that? I tell you, there's a race for you personally. And you need to find out. You know, now we don't get it all at once most of the time. We don't know all that we're going to do in our life and all the plan of God for us. We couldn't handle it. But we need to find out, what does God want me doing today? What is my next step? What am I to do in this race of faith? What direction? See, we can't just run aimlessly. No, we got to have purpose and know that we're pursuing the plan of God. You know, there's a lot of people that seem to put Christianity, put Jesus, their relationship with God, in kind of a Sunday box. Well, you know, that's for Sunday. The rest of my week, the rest of my life, while I'm just a regular person. No, if you're going to really run the race of faith, you got to find out, what does God want you to do? And you need to pursue it with all your heart. We're not just playing church. This isn't just another religion. The Bible says Christ, who is our life. It's a life. It's a relationship with Him. So I encourage you, first, you got to find out, what would please the Lord in your life? What does He want you to do? And you got to run that race that's marked out for you. You know, when you become a Christian and you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you turn your life over to Him. This attitude today that's being propagated by many preachers and teachers is, you just need to add God to your life, and God will show you how to make your family better, and we'll teach you how that you can handle your finances. We'll teach you how you can be happier. Listen, it's not about just being taught how to have a better life. It begins with this, that you turn your life over to Jesus. And I want to tell you, Until you do that, it doesn't matter what anybody teaches you about how to be a good husband or father, because in the end, you're going to end up doing what you want anyway. It doesn't matter what somebody teaches you about finances. It's all going to crumble. It's all going to burn unless you really make Jesus Lord. This is where it starts. This is where so many are missing it. You got to let Jesus truly be Lord of your life, that He is the master of your life. He's the one that's in control. And until we're willing to humble ourselves and truly let Him be Lord, we can't even begin to run that race. We have to run the race that's marked out for us. You know, the Bible says that you're not your own. You've been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God and your body and your spirit. Listen, we don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. He is our Lord and Master, our everything. We got to run that race and do what God has called us to do. And I'll tell you, if we do that, we can make a difference in this world. You might not impact the nations, but you're going to influence somebody. You're going to make a difference in somebody's life. And all of us working together, I tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get the job done. Amen. But God's going to use you. There are people that you're going to touch along the way in your race. There are lots of people in the Word of God and in our day who start their race, and some start their race strong, but they don't finish. They don't make it. Somewhere along the way, they give up. Somewhere along the way, they quit. Somewhere along the way, they went off in a different direction. A lot of them aren't even in church today. They don't read their Bibles and they don't pray. And seldom even think about the things of God anymore. How did that happen? But you know what? There are also many who even go to church regularly, and yet they've stopped running the race. They've stopped pursuing after the call of God and what God wants to do in and through their life. There are people that were going to conduct their business in a way that would glorify God, but somewhere along the way, things changed. Lots of people that were going to be in full-time ministry, but something happened. So many, they're running a race. They had vision, they had purpose, but they don't finish. Jesus finished His race. The Apostle Paul said this, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He finished His race. He kept the faith. You see, it is a race of faith. You got to keep the faith if you're going to run this race. Keep the faith. You let go of your faith. Listen, if you back down on your faith, if you stop trusting and believing God, you will not fulfill your race. There's no way that you'll fulfill the purpose of God in your life if you stop believing God and stop trusting God. It takes faith. Keep the faith. Finish the race. That's victory. But it takes faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Hebrews tells us to keep our eyes on Him. Focused on Him. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. See, there are a lot of things that can distract you. As we're running this race, we have to focus on the Lord Jesus, because there are going to be circumstances that come against our life. And if we focus on those circumstances, we will become fearful and afraid and unbelieving. That's what happened to Peter when he walked on the water and he saw the wind and the waves boisterous. He became afraid. And the same thing happens for us as we're pursuing after the call of God and what God wants to do in our life. A lot of times things don't go the way we planned. You're planning on growing up and marrying this spirit-filled Christian and really living for God, and somewhere along the way you looked around the church, you said, well, there's nobody here. How am I ever going to find that person? You're looking at the circumstances. You were going to give so much money to the Lord and do this and do that to propagate the gospel, but things didn't go right at your business, and so you just backed down and said, well, I guess that's not it. I guess that's not going to work. I'm telling you, whatever you're going to do for God, there's going to be faith involved. And there's going to be distractions. There's going to be wind and waves that come against your life. You wanted to do something in ministry, and it seemed like all the doors just closed. Listen, everybody that's ever been in ministry has also had times when they were looking for an open door. Lord, make a way. Lord, give me an opportunity. Circumstances. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. One of the things that distracts people and they're running their race of faith is other people. They get their eyes on other people and it messes them up. Galatians says this, you were running a good race. Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? You were running a good race, but somebody cut in on you. Something happened. So many say, well, you know, I was doing my thing for Jesus. I was serving the Lord, and these people hurt me. They were mean to me. I understand that. Been there. But they're not the ones that called you. They're not the ones that you serve. They're not the ones that died for you. And they're not the ones that you're living for. And I tell you, you need to get your eyes back on Jesus. You say, you don't understand. I really was hurt. I do understand. But you need to let Jesus, the healer of broken hearts, heal your hurt. And you need to get up and go on. Listen, if you go on and read there in Hebrews 12, in verse 3, it tells us that he faced such opposition from sinful men. And you will too. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted. Sometimes that person, they may not hurt you. Why, they may become your best friend. They might become your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and be a distraction from Jesus. Satan often comes as an angel of light. Don't let a person distract you from the call and the purpose of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Sometimes people get distracted from Jesus by certain doctrines, certain programs. The doctrine becomes the thing in their life. Now, I'm not even going to name any this morning. We could talk about a lot of different things, whether, you know, things that have to do with being spirit-filled. We could talk about things that have to do with end times. We could talk about healing, all kinds of issues. But when people become distracted by doctrines instead of keeping their eyes on Jesus, they always mess up. They always get sidelined in their race. You got to keep Jesus as the reason. Don't let some doctrine distract you. Some people get so focused on one particular area of ministry or a program in the church, they lose sight of Jesus. And I tell you, you do that, then none of it really has any meaning anyway. And I've seen it and heard it all. But you know, when people are, many times when they have an anointing, a call, and God's using them, for example, in worship, they think that worship is the only thing that matters. Well, nothing else really matters. Listen, I can get on that boat. Worship is awesome. Worship is all for God. It's getting in the presence of God. But I want to tell you, it's not about worship. It's about Jesus. Oh, we're winning the lost. That's really all that matters, isn't it? Is that we win the lost. Oh, we need to do that. That's our commission. But it's not all about winning the lost. It's all about Jesus. I'm telling you, anytime you lose sight of that, you lose focus on Jesus, you'll end up somewhere on the sidelines. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't allow your eyes to be taken away, distracted by circumstances, by other people, by some doctrine, some area of religion. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's where your strength is. That's where your answers are. That's where your victory is. It's in Jesus. To run the faith race, you got to get rid of everything that hinders and holds you back. Everything that would beset you. Everything that would cause you to stumble. Everything that would weight you down. You know, he mentions the weights, those hindrances, and then he also mentions sin. You know, a lot of times we as Christians, we just want to say, well, as long as I don't have any sin in my life, I mean, as long as I'm not actually doing something that's sin, then I'm okay. But the truth is that the enemy knows how to come against you. And he'll use all kinds of good things to slow you down and hinder you in your race for God. Throw off everything that hinders. You got to throw it off. Get rid of it. Don't allow something in your life that's slowing you down in your relationship with God and fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. So many believers miss what God has for them, or at least much of what God has for them, because they get entangled with other things, hindrances, things that are not part of the plan and the purpose of God. They get in the way and they keep you from the things that God wants you to accomplish. Listen, a hindrance is anything that keeps you from running your race at full potential. What a waste if we only accomplish a fourth of what God intended in our life. Let's put it in eternal terms. What if we only influence or impact a fourth as many people for eternity? I tell you, we got to run our race and don't allow something to hinder you. There are loved ones that are at stake. Friends, there are lost people that are at stake. We got to run our race. This isn't a game. We're in a war. And as we run this race with perseverance, we're making a difference in eternity. Running with eyes fixed on Jesus. Throw off the things that will hinder you and slow you down. I remember when I pastored in Medill, Oklahoma. Every year when deer season would roll around, well, we might as well just close down church. Everybody went deer hunting. I mean, a lot of the women, the teenage girls went hunting. Now, I'm going to tell you, well, then dove season and what, pig season and everything else. I mean, you know what? It might be God's will for you to go hunting. It might be God's will for you to play some golf. That's all right. But when it starts hindering your walk with God and what you could be doing for God, then you need to throw it off. When it becomes a hindrance, when it's entangling you and keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing at full strength, it's a hindrance. He said, throw off the things that hinder you. Listen, watching TV is not a sin, but if you're watching 3 hours a day, I can assure you it's keeping you from some activities that will further the kingdom of God. You might have some friends that are a hindrance to your race. Listen, Jesus was the friend of sinners, but those people didn't hinder Jesus. He was the influencer. He was the one that was bringing them along. They were part of his race. And you need to keep it that way. That if there are people in your life that are not really serving God, You're in their life for one reason, to influence them to serve the Lord, to help them to come into a real and living relationship with Jesus. If they're part of your race, it's for you to minister to them and bless them and help them. But don't you allow them to entangle you and hinder you in your race. Don't allow them to influence you to be apathetic and lukewarm and uncommitted. They're a hindrance to the cause of Christ in your life. Run your race. Get rid of the hindrances. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked together. You know, and people are really funny when you start talking about, well, it's applying to a marriage relationship or even courting, and or it's applying to your close friendships, or it's applying to your business relationships. It's real funny how people will start always defending and saying, well, it's not talking about that kind of relationship. No, it's not talking about that kind of relationship. It's not talking about that kind of relationship. What kind is it talking about? I'm telling you, it's talking about any relationship where you are put together with somebody else working in a close way. Whether it's a marriage, a business, whatever else it might be, you're not to be yoked together with an unbeliever. And yet so many people do that, and I'm telling you, it is a hindrance to your relationship with God. It is a hindrance to the call of God on your life and what God wants to do in and through you. Here's something you might not have thought of as a hindrance, but a bad attitude can be a terrible hindrance. Negative, complaining attitude. It will undermine your faith. It's a hindrance. You need to throw it off. Come on now. Some of you this morning, you need to say, you know what? I'm not going to have that attitude anymore. I'm going to throw that off. I'm going to get rid of that old grumpy attitude. Some of you have that attitude, oh, everything goes wrong for me. It's time to chuck that attitude. Get yourself a Bible attitude that goodness and mercy follow me. Amen. Get rid of those old negative mindsets, negative attitudes. They are a hindrance to your faith and to the call of God on your life. I remember years and years ago, wow, I remember way back then. When I was in junior high, I ran track, played football. Then in high school, I played soccer. And I remember how that most of the guys hated running. Didn't matter if we were doing wind sprints or, you know, when you play soccer, we did a lot of cross-country type running and just getting in shape. We'd go out and run 4 or 5 miles, you know, that was a common thing. But they would gripe and complain and complain. And you know, when you're running, I hadn't done much lately, can you tell? But when you're, you know, when you're 17 years old and you're running along and, you know, and you're in pretty good shape, it don't feel that bad. Come on. You're running and sprinting along or just enjoying it, but people are complaining. I hate this. Why do we have to do this? This is stupid. After a while, you just start feeling it. Yeah, I don't want to do this. Yuck. And I'm telling you, that happens with people in the kingdom, in the church, all the time. We're serving God. We're doing things, you know, that maybe on some level it's not comfortable. On some level it's not always fun. And we start listening to that negative voice. I don't want to do this. There's so many people sitting on the sidelines in their race for God just because they got a negative, complaining mindset. And it hindered them. Get rid of it. Throw it off. Just say, I'm not going to put up with that anymore in my life. I'm going to run my race all out for God. Throw off everything that hinders. It also mentions those sins that so easily entangle us. Listen, all of us make mistakes. When we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Hebrews 12 is telling us here that if you allow sin to stay in your life, it will hinder you. You say, are you saying I won't make it to heaven? No, I didn't say that. I'm telling you that it will keep you from reaching your potential. It'll keep you from being the father, the dad that you were supposed to be. It'll keep you from being the man of God, the preacher, the teacher that you were supposed to be. It'll keep you from being the wife, the mother. It'll keep you from being the witness that you were supposed to be, the youth leader, the children's worker, worship leader. It'll keep you from reaching your potential if you allow sin in your life. He says, throw it off. Get rid of it. Yes, God still loves you. Yes, He forgives you. But you need to throw it off. Don't allow some sin to entangle you when you're running your race for God. Thank God for His mercy, His grace. Thank God for His power as well, that He is able to empower you to rise up and to live in victory. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I tell you, if you decide you're going to do anything for God, there's going to be some opposition. You have an enemy. He is against you. And you need to realize that he's going to try to use sinful things to slow you down, to keep you from fulfilling your call and purpose. He's also going to try to use even good things. Listen, family is important. But I've seen some people that put their family before Jesus. That's a good way to mess your family up. In fact, I would never mention a name, but I've even seen some of those very families a few years down the road ended in divorce. They were so committed to their family, they put their family before the Lord, and yet a few years it all just fell apart. How sad. But when you put Jesus first, you keep your eyes on Him, it's amazing how He causes everything else to fit in place and everything else just works out. Some people get so wrapped up in their jobs. Listen, you need to work. Work is a good thing. The Bible says you're supposed to work. But don't allow your work to become a hindrance to your relationship with Jesus and your serving God and fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. I tell you, He wants you to be free from any hindrance, anything that would slow you down and keep you from going full tilt for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to run this race of faith and we're going to win, He said, you got to endure. The NIV says to run with perseverance. You got a mean business. Listen, there's going to be opportunities to quit. There's going to be opportunities to just give up or just say, hey, I'm taking a break. But I tell you, we have to persevere in the difficult times, even when we get hurt, even when there's a battle. We got to persevere. Some people just seem to give up way too easy. You can't sit down when you're running a race for God. No, He is the one who strengthens us. He will give you what you need to make it over the top. But I tell you, you can't give up. Some people get to the place where they say, you know what, I'm just not even going to go to church anymore. How sad. Not running their race. Not really fulfilling the purpose of God and all that God has for them. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So many people miss what God had for them. They were believing God. They had vision. They had hopes and dreams. But they gave up. And because they didn't persevere, they missed what God had promised them. See, our responsibility is to do the will of God. He says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You see, if we'll just keep going, if we'll just keep doing God's will, sometimes people get discouraged. They say, well, I've been doing right, I've been believing, and I've been doing this, and it doesn't work. That's the very time that you need to be dedicated, committed, keep your eyes on Jesus, and just keep going. Persevere, press on. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You're doing good. He says, don't get weary. Don't get weary. I tell you, the Lord can refresh you. If you wait on Him in His presence, He will renew your strength like the eagles. He'll give you what you need. But don't give up. Don't be weary in doing good, because what did He say? There is a harvest that's coming. We will reap. We will see the reward for our efforts, and we'll see the reward for our labor. Amen. But you got to continue to do the will of God. One more on perseverance. Luke 8:15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a good and noble heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. It's when you persevere that you see the fruit of your labors. I suppose that's just one of the saddest things of all, is when people have been serving God and doing the will of God, doing what they're supposed to, and then at some point, because they hadn't seen the harvest yet, they give up. And because they didn't persevere, they never reap the fruit of their work, of their labors, of their service. They don't see that reward, because they gave up. One last time. Hebrews 12. I want you to read it with me. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Lay aside. I like the way the NIV, I think it's the NIV, says, throw off. Chuck it. Get rid of it. Throw off everything that hinders, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you, there is a joy that is set before us as well. Jesus endured the cross because He had this joy that He knew that He was going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. He knew that He was the firstborn among many brethren. He knew that He was going to destroy the works of the devil. Are you hearing me, church? He knew that what He was doing was going to impact all eternity, that we would be with Him for eternity. And I'll tell you, in our race, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, but we also need to realize that there is a joy set before us. There is a goal. There's a reward. Ultimately, it's going to make a difference in eternity how we run this race. See, the devil wants to tell you it doesn't matter. He wants to tell you that you're just spending all your effort and time and energy for nothing. But I tell you, as you run your race for Jesus, you're making a difference, an impact in the lives of other people for eternity. Don't mess around. Don't play games with God. Don't play church. Run your race. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, I thank You for the call of God on my life. And I thank You, Lord, for the call of God upon this one and this one and this one. Every one of us, Lord. There's a call. There's a purpose. There's a reason that we are walking this earth. And Lord, I just pray that today that faith would rise in our hearts, Lord, to run this race with purpose, with meaning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that those that have gotten weary and tired, Lord, would be strengthened today. I pray those that have been distracted will be refocused today. Lord, I pray that those whose faith has waned would just be encouraged in the Lord today, that their faith would once again rise up to lay hold of the promise of God. Those that have lost vision and hope, oh, Father, that fresh vision that come into their heart today, that they'll go back and take hold of those promises fresh and anew. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for your goodness to us, your blessing upon us today, your mercy, your grace, Lord, for giving us another day. And Lord, may we live it to your honor and to your glory with all our heart. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I want some prayer partners to come join me here at the front this morning. And I encourage you, if you need prayer this morning for any reason, they're here to agree together with you in faith. I challenge you this morning, if you just need to start fresh and anew today and just begin, maybe you've been running your race, but you realize today you need a renewed purpose. You need a renewed effort and energy to go after the things of God. I encourage you to come for prayer. Maybe you've been sidelined or distracted by some things. Get your eyes back on Jesus today. You can begin right here in this altar area. Maybe there's some things that have hindered you. It's time for you to turn that over to God. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Whether it's sin or even something that's good, if it's hindering you, throw it off this morning. Throw it off. You see, when that rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, "What do I need to do?" What it came down to was that he was bound up by his riches. And when Jesus told him, "If you really want to follow me, go sell all you have and give to the poor, and then come follow me." When Jesus told him that, that was his opportunity to get free and be able to run his race for God. But he missed it. He went away sad because that stuff had a hold on him. Is there anything wrong with money? Of course not. But when it has a hold on you, there's something wrong with it. If there's something's got a hold on you this morning, you need to throw it off. What's hindering you? It may be some hobby, some entertainment. What's hindering you? Get rid of it this morning. Make a decision that by faith you're going to throw that off and you're going to run for Jesus with all your heart.